I tell you what, I had the opportunity to preach today, and I'm excited to do so. My sermon title is super easy. You'll see this on the back of your bulletin. The sermon title today is Ready, Set, Go. It's that simple. Ready, set, go. There are three things to remember this morning. It's a phrase that you've heard before, and I hope that it sticks in your mind. Now, I usually get the chance to preach on these Sundays, these fifth Sundays when we have our kids up here, and boy, am I grateful for that. It's good to have you. It's good to have them worship with us and see kind of what it means to worship Jesus, even as an adult. But Lynn gave me this opportunity, and he told me, look, I know we've been preaching from the book of Revelation, but I want to give you kind of a standalone sermon to preach on, you know, whatever your heart desires. But I didn't want to get too far away from the book of Revelation, so I didn't want to just come and, like, preach on happiness or, like, disciplining your children or something like that. So I had the idea of preaching about the second coming of Jesus. And we're going to read this morning that Jesus promised he's going to come back. That's going to be one of our points. But I want you to remember in the coming of Jesus, in the second coming, to be ready and to get set and to go. You think that's easy enough to remember this morning? I think so. All right. Now, our main text, if you have your Bibles, I can hear the rustling of pages. Some of you do. Matthew chapter 24 is going to kind of be our main home text. Now, we're going to bounce around a little bit from place to place this morning to try and get the full effect of what Scripture is teaching us. But if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If you have a Bible app, you can use that. You can open up to Matthew chapter 4 in your Bible app. Just know that if I see you on your phone, I'm assuming that you're using your Bible and not texting your neighbor about what's for lunch, okay? I promise you, you will get to lunch. We'll be finished here about noon, and you'll get to get some lunch in you, okay? I promise you. All right. Now, the context here in Matthew chapter 24 is very important. Jesus is about ready to die. He knows what's about to happen. He knows that he's going to be crucified, that he's going to be brutally beaten, and he's going to be put to death. So Jesus knows that that's going to happen, and he's telling his disciples about it. And not only that, he's telling them about his second coming. He's telling them that, hey, guys, just so you know, it's not going to end there. I'm going to come back. So that's the context that we have in chapter 24. But this phrase, ready, set, go, is usually given in instructions of a race, right? You've heard that in instructions for a race. And that's where this phrase kind of comes from. But again, I want you to be able to apply that to the second coming this morning. We're going to see, again, that Jesus promised he would be back. So we need to get ready and get set, and then we will go. So first, we need to get ready. We need to get ready. That's the first step. We need to get ready. Now, when it comes to a race, to get ready means that you're mentally prepared for what's to come. You have an end goal in mind, and that goal is to be first place, and you mentally prepare yourself for what you have to do to make it to your goal. Does that make sense? Well, we need to do that when it comes to the second coming as well. We know what our goal is. Our goal is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Our goal is to be in communion in heaven with him forever. So Jesus kind of prepares his disciples in these last days of his life to be ready. He says, look, guys, I am coming. Four times in the chapter of 24 in Matthew, four times Jesus says that the Son of Man is coming. The Son of Man. Now, that's an important phrase, the Son of Man. In the comedy world, they call this a callback. When you take a joke later in the session that refers to something earlier in the session, okay? This is a callback to Daniel chapter 7. So Daniel's in your Old Testament. Don't worry, I'll have the scripture up on the screen here for you. But in Daniel chapter 7 is where Daniel gives this vision that God gave him about heaven. And you'll notice as you read through Daniel 7, it lines up exactly with what Revelation and John and Revelation talks about in Revelation chapters 4 and chapter 5. So Scripture, again, they don't combat each other. They coincide with each other. But here's what happens in Daniel chapter 7, starting in verse 13. Daniel says, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and people in every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Now, this phrase, son of man, simply in the Hebrew means having the appearance of a man. Now, that seems obvious to us, but when it comes in the context of Daniel 7, it's a little bit different than what Daniel had been seeing. You see, so far, Daniel's explained things like things that look like creatures, like animals. He's explained things with wings. He's explained things with eyes and with horns, just like we read about in Revelation 4 and 5. You see how they coincide with each other. But in the midst of all of these heavenly beings and heavenly hosts around the throne and around the Ancient of Days, he notices a son of man, a man-like figure approaching the Ancient of Days, where God is seated on the throne. And then he describes this manly figure as been giving all dominion and power and sovereignty. And his kingdom will never end. And everyone will worship him. That sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? That's because it is Jesus. That is Jesus that we're talking about. So Jesus refers to himself that way, knowing that the Jewish people understood the Old Testament, and they understood Daniel chapter 7. They know the Son of Man is a heavenly figure, and here Jesus says, the Son of Man is coming. That same figure that you saw in Daniel chapter 7 that you've read about, that you know by name, is coming. And that's the way that Jesus refers to himself in Matthew 24. He does it again in chapter 26, verse 2, where he tells his disciples, the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. The Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. So again, four times in Matthew 24, Jesus says, the Son of Man is coming. 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 Now, as a preacher, as a speaker, as a public speaker, it's important when you have an important thing to say, an important point that you want to drive into people's mind, that you repeat it. What do you think Jesus is trying to do here? He's trying to get them to know, trying to get them to understand and to comprehend the fact that Jesus, the Son of Man, is coming back. He promises that he would be back. And Jesus has not broken his promises. Just like he's told his disciples that he was going to be crucified and raised again 3 days later, he will not break a promise. So you can guarantee that the Son of Man is coming. He's coming. So what can we do to be ready? We need to be ready. We need to mentally prepare for Jesus coming back. We need to focus on Jesus coming back, just like a runner focusing on what the task ahead and to know what they need to do to accomplish the goal. We need to know what that finish line is and how to get there. So what can we be ready for? How can we be ready when it comes to the second coming of Jesus Christ? Well, the first things we need to do are simple. Believe that Jesus is the Messiah and be baptized. Two simple things. Now, most of us in here we're already ready. We've already made that decision. Now, when I say those things, to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, you know, you need to believe all the things that the Bible says is true. And baptism is important as well. You see, just before Jesus ascended into heaven, shortly after Matthew chapter 24, where we're at, he says this in Matthew 28, starting in verse 18. You're familiar with this scripture. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That sounds similar. We just read that in Daniel chapter 7. We read that in Revelation chapters 4 and 5. All authority has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. That's what they're doing at Colegio Biblico. They're preparing people to serve Jesus. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You'll notice when we baptize people, that's what they ask. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Right? And they accept him. That's being ready. And then as we baptize them, we'll say in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's where this comes from. Jesus commands that. And verse 20, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, where's the very end of the age? That's the second coming. That's when the Son of Man comes back. Jesus is foreshadowing what's about to happen. Hey guys, I'm going to leave you, but here's what you need to do in my absence. You need to be ready. You need to make sure others are ready, that they know who I am, that they follow my commandments, and that they're baptized into my name. See, if we're going to get ready for the second coming of Jesus, we need to prepare ourselves and get ready to enter heaven. We need to be baptized and we need to believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. So we believe that Jesus was in heaven at the beginning of creation, as Scripture says. That he was born of a virgin mother, just as Scripture says. That he lived a perfect life, that he was tempted in every way that you are, yet without sin. We believe that Jesus was sinless. We believe that he was crucified on a cross. We believe that he performed miracles before he ever got there. And we believe that he rose 3 days later. We can also believe he's coming again. If we believe those things and we've been baptized into his name, we've already ready. We're in a ready position right now for the second coming of Jesus Christ. But all of these things are essential. But we know that it's going to happen because God has promised it. So after we get ready, now we need to get set. Right? This is the next part of it. We need to get set. Now when it comes to a runner getting set, they've already mentally prepared for what's about to happen. And now they get in a posture or position to get them ready to get off the starting line, right? So they make these things called starting blocks. Now, I am not a runner, as you can probably tell. I used to play soccer, though. I used to be skinny. And then I found out I love food more than exercise. But they make these things called starting blocks, and I'm not going to show you because I will be out of breath. But you put your feet in these starting blocks, and you can adjust those however you need to. Whatever position your feet need to be in, you can adjust the starting block. As a matter of fact, back in the day before they had starting blocks, they would take a trowel. If you don't know what a trowel is, it's a little miniature shovel that you use in the garden, something else I don't know about at all. And they would take the trowel and they would dig two holes in the ground, dig them into the ground, and that's where they would put their feet to start the race, right? So to get set, they would put their feet in these holes. Now that came to be, they would put kind of like spikes in the ground that they could remove later, and then it became what we have today, which is a starting block. So to get ready, they would put their feet in position, they would put their hands in the ground, and they would be looking down or up, whatever makes it better. I think it's usually looking down. Any runners in here? I think it's looking down so that as soon as it goes up, boom, you can spring up. Am I right? Thank you. I got something right today. Okay. So you get yourself in position, and you kind of preload your muscles, right? You've already done your stretches. You've already done all of that. You've gotten mentally prepared. You put your feet in the starting block and your muscles are ready, locked, and loaded. So as soon as you hear the word go, you're ready to sprint as fast as you can. That's what it means as a runner to get ready. So why do we need to get set? Why do we need to get set? Why do we need to get set when it comes to the second coming? Can't we just wait, hang out? Why do we have to put our foot in these starting blocks? Well, there's a reason. And Jesus shares with us in our main text, again, Matthew chapter 24. We're going to start in verse 42. Keep your thumb in Matthew chapter 24 because we're going to be coming back to it. But Jesus says this. He talks about two servants. He says, we're going to get to that. Therefore, catch these words, keep watch. Okay, put that in your mind. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Jesus says, therefore, keep watch because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch. He would not have let his house be broken into. So you must be ready because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect him. So Jesus says over and over in this chapter, as we've discussed, that he's coming back. But no one knows when it will be. As a matter of fact, Jesus says later on, I don't even know. He says the angels have no idea. Only God knows when Jesus will come back. And in verse 36, he says that. And then he gives this analogy of the flood. Remember the flood of... Let me ask you a question about the flood. How many animals did Moses put on the ark? That's the answer. Hey, that was a kid. That was great. That's right. Moses didn't build the ark. It was Noah, right? You're welcome. But the kid got it. Who got that? Raise your hand. Who spit that out? You get a prize. You come see me afterward. I'm going to give you $2, okay? That was awesome. He said, Moses? I get that reaction a lot when I'm preaching. Garrett? Okay. So, but Jesus, in this context, he talks about Noah and the flood, and he says, look, when the flood came, Noah was building the ark, and it took Noah forever because he didn't have chainsaws and other saws and glue and all the stuff that we have today and nails, right? Took him forever, Noah forever, to build the ark. And he had no idea, even though God promised that the flood was going to come, had no idea when it was going to happen. And Jesus says, just like that, no one's going to know when I'm coming back. No one's going to have any idea. Just like a thief in the night, you have no idea when Jesus is coming back. So we need to be ready and we need to be set. We know and believe in him. We are baptized into his name. And now we need to keep watch. Remember how I told you to keep that phrase in your head? To keep watch means to be awake and to be alert. It means to kind of have your head on a swivel, is what they say, right? To be awake and to be alert. Now, I like to think at this phrase of my favorite zombie movie. I don't know if you're into the zombie genre, right? Or, let's put it this way, maybe your war movie, okay? Your war movie, where you've got to have somebody to keep watch. Why? Because everybody else is sleeping. We need our rest. Everyone else is sleeping, and it's your job to keep watch, to be on the alert, so that if something tries to attack you, that's trying to eat your brains, or if the enemy is coming, and you need to keep watch. You need to be on the alert. Now, interestingly enough, just two chapters later, Jesus is in the Garden of Olives. And he's nearing, again, the end of his life. He knows that Judas is about to come and betray him and that he's going to be handed over to the authorities. And he says this in Matthew 26, 38. He says, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch for me. Jesus is saying, disciples, I'm hurting right now. I'm praying fervently. I am praying like crazy that God would maybe come up with some kind of different plan. I need you to keep watch, be alert, be awake, and pray with me. And Jesus goes off, and you know the story. Jesus prays, and he comes back to find his disciples sleeping. They didn't keep watch. And Jesus says, God, wake up, please, wake up. Wake up, be with me in this time. And Jesus says, keep watch while I pray. And Jesus goes off and he prays and he comes back to find his disciples sleeping. Jesus tells him one more time, guys, I need you. Stick with me. I need you to keep watch. I need you to be on the alert. I need your prayer. I need you to watch out for anybody that might be coming. And sure enough, Jesus goes off and they fall asleep. They didn't have a chance to wake up before Judas comes. And it gets me to thinking, what if they kept watch? What if they kept watch? What if they saw Jesus and these authorities, or Judas and these authorities coming his way? Just a thought. But they did not keep watch. They weren't on the alert. So he asked them in the same language, guys, I need you to keep watch for me. Be on the alert and be on the ready because we don't know when Jesus is coming back, so we need to get set now. And then he gets to Matthew 24, starting at verse 45, where he tells the story of these two servants. He says, who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants of his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. The master has given him something to do, and he expects it to be done when he comes back. That makes sense. Verse 47, truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all of his possessions. He'll be kind of rewarded with that. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is going to stay away for a long time. And then he begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour that he is not aware of, he will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Gnashing of teeth. Anytime you see the phrase gnashing of teeth, it refers to one place, hell. The imagery here is pretty obvious. Jesus is our master, and we are his servants. And that makes sense. We bear the name Christian because we are here to serve and to follow Jesus Christ. It's very fitting for us as believers in Jesus. But Jesus points out here, while he's in heaven, while he is away at this time, while the master is waiting to come back, what should we do while the master is away? What is it that we need to do to be set and ready while the master is away? Have you ever found that when your superior isn't present, you might slack off a little bit more? Kids, if you're ever in school and your teacher says, okay, you've got homework on page 16, I need you to open up your workbooks and fill that out, and then that teacher goes out into the hallway, the kids start looking up and noticing the teacher's not there. Start talking to your friends about what happened the day before or what's for lunch or the fact that you have 3 fruit roll-ups in your lunchbox, right? And you start just murmuring and you're not doing your homework like the teacher asked. Or what about when your wife gives you errands? She's about to go run errands, right? And she tells you, hey, I got to run to JCPenney and to Kohl's and to Target and I got to pick up order at Sam's Club and, you know, I've got to use a cartwheel and I've got a 70% off coupon and I'm going to combine those to get 5 things for free and I'm only going to pay $3.19 for this item. And you're like zoning out, right? And you're like, honey, call one of your friends that cares about that, but thank you for saving money. That got really personal really quick. But before she leaves, she says, Garrett, hypothetically, I need you to switch the laundry, and I need you to take the dishes out of the dishwasher, and I need you to take the trash out. And you said, no problem, honey, I got you. She goes off for her errands, and while she's away, you might hypothetically get stuck watching SportsCenter and forgetting about your errands. It happens to all of us. Or maybe it's your boss, and your boss gives you a task to do. You know what your task is. You do it every day. And while they're watching, you tend to do it. We call it the dog and pony show, right? Everything to a T. Everything objectively, the way that we're supposed to, and in order. And then when they leave, it's like, I might skip one or two of those steps. Not long ago, my son Isaiah was offered the opportunity to watch someone's dogs. And he's not too familiar with that. We've had a dog a long time ago. His mom has a dog, but he doesn't regularly have to take care of the dog. But this person was going to be out of town for a day or two and asked if Isaiah might be interested in kind of doing a trade. If you watch my dogs, I'll give you a little prize, right? And he decides he's going to do that. So his tasks were pretty simple. Come in and greet the dogs, feed them and water them, pick up any messes that are made, and you know, if you've got time, go out and play with the dogs if you can, right? So now my son has a choice. He can do exactly that while the master is away, or he could not. He could maybe skip a couple steps. Now, many of you know my son, and you can probably guess what decision he made. And I'm happy to tell you, you'd be wrong. Isaiah made the right decision, and he did a good job. But we have this choice. While the master is away, what do we do to get set? Do we follow his commands? Or do we maybe slack off a little bit? What are we doing while the master is away? See, while we're at church even, it kind of makes it easy to kind of do the right things and to say the right things. We kind of put on this face, and it's mostly true. It's who we're supposed to be. And yet during the week, we slack off a little bit. We maybe not follow all the commands that God has put in front of us. Or maybe we're in a set position and we're showing that we're ready, or maybe we just get caught up in the things that are going really bad in our lives and they distract us from what Jesus wants from us. Or maybe sometimes this happens, even the good things we get focused on too much in our lives and we forget about Jesus and we're not set ready for Jesus to come back. Jesus says in this parable that the servant should be watching for the master to come. In Luke chapter 12, it tells a story of 2 other servants, and they're standing at a doorway, and they're waiting for the master to come back from a wedding ceremony. Who knows when? They don't know when. They don't know when he's going to come back, but guess what? They have to keep watch so that as soon as the master comes back, whatever hour of the night it is, you can fling the doors open, and you can greet the master to come in. That's what I mean by asking us to be set, to be in a set position. We do It makes me think of this. That story of the servants being at the gate, ready to greet the master whenever he comes, but they don't know when it's going to happen. Have you ever been at home and, you know, the house is in the normal state that it's in, right? And somebody comes knocking at the door. Knock, 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 knock. And you go, wait a minute, did I just hear that? And you look over and you see Mrs. Smith standing at the door. And you look around at the floor and everything else that's going on. And you're like, Mrs. Smith, hold on just a moment. You're not expecting her, right? So you go back and you clean up all this clutter that's laying on the ground and you don't want her to trip on. You don't want her to get any, you know, bad thoughts about how terribly you keep your house, right? So you start picking everything up. You start shoving it away and putting them where maybe they can't see, whether it's in a closet or it's behind something. Hold on, Mrs. Smith, I'm coming. You pick up all the clutter, you throw it in the closet, and they go, hey, Mrs. Smith, how are you? You ever been in that situation? Here's my question. We don't know when Jesus is coming back, right? Do you have your clutter picked up? Ooh. Are you picking up those pieces in your life that you just know aren't right, that are in shambles? That you know if Jesus were to step into your room, in your heart, and say, man, I see what you got going on here. We need to be set. We need to pick up that clutter in our lives. Peter describes it the way that we should live while Jesus is away, while the master is away, in 2 Peter chapter 3. Here's what Peter says. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Well, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? We don't know when Jesus is coming back. Jesus is not a thief. Jesus is going to come back like a thief. We don't know when. And the day of the Lord is going to be the second coming, when Jesus comes back. He says the heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, check this out. What kind of people ought you to be? Here's what you ought to do. You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. This is what it means to be set. Peter says, you know that Jesus is coming back like a thief in the night. You don't know when it's going to be. So in the meantime, what kind of people ought you to be? Well, you ought to be spotless. You ought to be godly. You ought to be blameless and at peace with God. We need to live in such a way that we honor Christ and we honor God the Father. We do this by living a righteous life compared to what God has given us in his word. There's a reason we call it a roadmap, because it tells us how to live with the end goal in mind so that when Jesus comes back, we're set. It's to obey those commandments that we read in Scripture. It's to have characteristics like Jesus himself. And it's to have the fruits of the Holy Spirit that only he can bring. So we see this parable of the two servants come together in Matthew chapter 24. And in verse 46, he says that the good servant is the one that carried out his master's will, as we talked about. We need to be good stewards of the name that we have been given, which is Christian, which is the name of Jesus Christ. So even when the master is away, we can imitate him. That is how we can be set. So my first question is, are we ready this morning? Do we believe in the same Jesus that we read about in the New Testament? In the Old Testament? Do we believe in him? Have we been baptized into his name? Are we ready? And then are we set? Have we put ourselves in the right place, in the right position, so that when Jesus comes back, we know where we're heading? With our racing analogy, the runner, again, gets ready by preparing his mind for the task at hand, to picture how they're going to accomplish their goal. And then they get set at the starting block and they preload their muscles, ready to spring, because next is the word go. Next is when the gun rings out or the whistle blows and the race begins. So after we get ready and after we get set, whenever Jesus comes back, it's going to be time for us to go. See, we don't have the choice to stay here. We don't have the choice to keep this earthly body forever. In the end, when Jesus comes back, it's going to be time to go. There's going to be a judgment day. And those who have been ready and those who have been set are going to be invited into the kingdom of heaven. Just like Jesus shared, come on in, guys. You followed the will of my Father. You believed in me. You get to have eternity with God, where there is only goodness, where there is only perfection, where there is only love. But if you don't, if you're not ready, if you don't get set, and Jesus comes back, you have another choice. You're going to go one place or the other. The other place is hell. Now, kids, that's not a word you throw around all the time. Your parents will tell you when it's appropriate to say that word and when it's not, but hell is a real place. And when Jesus comes back and it's time to go, you're either going to go to heaven or you're not. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 25, just a chapter after where we were in Matthew 24, in verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. Amen. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right, and he will put the goats on his left. Then Jesus will say to those on his right, come, this is what we're talking about, come, you who are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. If you're a sheep, it's yours. And then a couple verses later, verse 41, he says, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And a couple verses after that, in verse 46, then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. You don't have a choice. When Jesus comes back like a thief in the night, if you're not ready and you're not set, you're going to go. Are you one of the sheep or are you one of the goats? Are you a sinner that's been saved by grace through Jesus Christ and you've gotten yourself ready and you believe in him, and you've been baptized into his name, and now you're following his commands to the best of your ability and you're ready and you're set? Or are you a goat who's not made that decision yet? So that's my question. Are you a sheep or a goat? Which one are you? You're one or the other. There's no in between. Are you a sheep or are you a goat? Again, if you've chosen Jesus as your Savior, if you've been baptized into his name, you believe in him, then you're on the right track. You're a sheep. And looking around this room, I see a lot of sheep. And I'm happy that the sheep are here to learn more about God and learn what it means to be a Christian and how we should live. But you might think it odd that sometimes when I'm up here, or when Lynn is up here, or when Jay is up here, and at the end we give this kind of what we call an invitation, that if you are not a sheep, we would love to count you as a sheep. And there's a reason that we do that. We want the goats to join us, don't we? If we love our neighbors, we want them to enter the kingdom of heaven. And if you're living your life as a sheep in a way that's driving the goats away, you need to come to Jesus. You need to have a moment of clarity to have God transform your heart the way that only he can, so that you can invite the goats into the fold. So if you're a goat this morning, it's not over. The good news for you is that Jesus has not yet come back. So if you're not ready and you don't believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you've not accepted him as your Savior and been baptized into his name, and therefore you haven't put God's commandments in your heart so that you're going to follow them to the best of your ability in a set and ready position, there's still time for you. And we're glad that you're here. Don't be afraid to grab one of the sheep around you that you might know and talk to them about it. And if that sheep doesn't know how to answer your questions, come and grab a shepherd. Come and grab Lynn. Come and grab me. Come and grab Jay, Kirsty, anybody on staff. We would love, love, love to share more with you about Jesus. By the way, it's okay to have questions if you're a goat. It's okay to wonder what the heck Garrett's talking about. Or what is this place? Why does God send people to hell? Ask those questions. That's okay. But I want us to remember before we leave today, even if you're a sheep, be mindful of the goats and be like Jesus to them, because the same gift was given for them that's been given to you. And we're going to be moving on in our service right now. The praise team is going to come up, and then we're going to have communion together. This time when we celebrate the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because as a sheep, that's what we believe in. That's what we know is true. So I would like for you to pray with me before we continue our time of service. God, thank you so much. Thank you, God, so much for being a Father that cares for us, that since the creation, even before the creation of the world, God, you had a plan. And that plan was to offer your Son as a sacrifice so that we could be a sheep, so that we can be holy and blameless in your sight. God, that we can enter the kingdom of heaven. God, we're thankful for your word that rings true, that you've never broken a promise, that your Son Jesus has never broken a promise. And God, because of that, we know he's coming. We know he's coming. We have no idea when it's going to happen. It could happen in a moment. So God, help us to get ready to fully accept Jesus and who he is and what he came to do and accomplish, that he was your Son, that his blood is the only perfect blood that could forgive our sins, that we could be baptized into his name and choose to follow you. And God, as we follow you, we get ourselves set in the word and we live a righteous life, having characteristics of you and your Son and being full of the Holy Spirit. God, help us to get ready and to get set. But we look forward to the day when we will go. God, thank you for the promise that comes only through your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.